Now, before we look at the possible fallout of this in Australia, can we go back a little? How long has the US been at serious risk of not being able to pay its debts?
I guess the US is currently, their debt levels are currently $14.3 trillion. This didn't happen overnight, and in fact, they've been owing money for quite some time. I guess pre the GFC, when times were good, creditors weren't too concerned about the ability to be repaid their capital. They were more than happy to receive the interest payments. Post GFC, in a world of slower growth, as we've had in the last few years, we're starting to see the markets become a little bit concerned about the ability of the US to repay their debts, and we're starting to hear talk from the ratings agencies that they will look to downgrade them, which will have some impacts.
Absolutely. Now, $14.3 trillion, who do they owe it to?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I mean, about half of them they actually owe to themselves, various government agencies and etc., Medicare Fund, Social Security Fund, Veterans Affairs and etc., as well as some state governments. They owe the Fed about $1.5 trillion as a result of their recent bond buying purchases. But of course, so the other half is owed offshore, and at the moment they owe about 10% to China, about 7% to Japan, and so forth.
And so in terms of this debt ceiling, what needs to happen for them to be able to keep functioning?
Well, America's unusual in that they have a hard limit that the government is allowed to borrow. And this figure isn't indexed at all. So they keep running up against this upper limit as they keep borrowing more and more money, which is, of course, the key issue here. So this limit has been raised about 10 times in the last decade. What the process by what happens is Congress needs to pass a bill to raise the limit. At the moment, however, the lower house is controlled by the Republicans and the upper house by the Democrats. So what we're seeing is some significant we've seen the politicisation of the issue and a failure at this stage of both parties to come together to agree the bill.
Now, talking about politics, is it an ideological thing about it? I mean, are they just trying to catch Barack Obama out with an election not that far off, or do they genuinely believe that if they increase that debt ceiling that the US won't be able to then make those new repayments at that higher level?
It's a good question. I think it's a bit of both. As a general rule, a card-carrying Republican would rather cut spending, and a card-carrying Democrat would rather raise taxes. That's the broad brushstrokes of the negotiations going on here. But as you mentioned, the real politic here is that there's a presidential election towards the end of next year. So the Republicans who are in opposition would prefer to just let the US government borrow a little bit more money and then revisit the issue next year. The Democrats would prefer to have a whole lot more money, and let's come back to that issue in a couple of years' time.
After the election.
Where we're stuck right now. That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Now, there have been all sorts of crisis meetings going on to try to avoid this. Have any of them come close to resolving the problem?
Good question. You know, inches as good as a mile, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's several plans being bandied around. In some ways, they're not a million miles away. I mean, you know, I remember an old quote from Ronnie Reagan back in the 80s, which was, you know, if you can get to within 80% of what you want, then take the deal and move on. As we get closer and closer, I mean, we were notified in mid-May that they had hit the debt ceiling. So they've effectively been spending their pocket money, their piggy banks, and they're projected to run out of money on the 2nd of August, which is this D-Day that the financial press is focusing on. I guess the reality of failure to make a deal would mean that the US government would not be able to pay their debts. And we're not just talking about foreign bondholders here. We'd be talking about government employees. Mm-hmm. We'd be talking about Medicare checks and et cetera. I don't think any politician wants to be around if that's the case. So hence, a deal will be signed and just a question of what.
I remember, going back to television, how sad am I? But West Wing, of course, this nearly happened and they just averted it. Are people genuinely concerned that a deal won't be struck in time, or do you think there's just no way they can't find a solution.
I think the fact that the party in power doesn't control Congress is the big issue here. I mean, 2002 and 3 and 4 and 2006, we came within weeks of running out of money in the US. However, it was really due to the fact that putting the finishing touches on the package. In 1979, in fact, the US failed to make payments for a week or two, and again, it was Congress taking their time. This is quite a unique situation in that the relative strengths of the bargaining parties are quite strong, and there is a history here of looking to add more legislation along with an expanded debt ceiling as a quid pro quo.
So that'll be a deal where they manage to get other things through that they want and they'll agree to it. And
that's right.
All that sort of wheeling and dealing going on. But meanwhile, in terms of the impact of this financially, does that mean that there's a risk of massive job losses and all sorts of things as they try to rein in their spending?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, unemployment there is already pretty bad, and it's really not clear how severe a package or how workable a package would be in order for the US to trade out of their $14 trillion of debt. I mean, that's an awful lot of money.
You wouldn't want that on your books, would you?
No, it would be. The bank would be very nervous if you owed the bank that much. What's key here is that there's a lot of unfunded liabilities as well that the US has. I guess what the US has, unlike Europe, is they have they're in control of their own currency. So what we may well see is a competitive devaluation and a way for them to trade out. US can still grow. GDP characteristics for the US, given their immigration status, is such that I wouldn't be worrying too much about the US's capacity to grow and to service their interest and to maybe make some inroads on their capital. What's happening, of course, and what's making everyone very, very nervous is that American treasuries are supposed to be the safest of the safe. That's the traditional flight to quality safe haven. If the ratings agencies, most of them US as well, that are saying, well, we think they're not quite as likely to pay back and hence we downgrade them, that delivers significant volatility into all the financial markets. So the way we're seeing this play out now is we're seeing extra volatility in the share market. We're seeing some fairly sharp moves in the foreign exchange market. So, I mean, our Aussie dollar is at extremely elevated levels and is likely to grind higher, given that it's measured against the US dollar. And we see the US dollar being weaker for quite some time.
And if it goes just a couple of points higher, that's going to be crippling for Australian exporters.
Absolutely. The big problem for them. And effectively now, depending on your view, but it's not hard to make the case that we're effectively in an East Coast recession as we speak. So with the currency now at 108, on its way to 110, this is a big problem for all of Australia, bar the mining and minerals area.
And speaking of which, gold prices going through the roof, record high.
Gold prices going through the roof. Where do you put your money? If you're worried about US treasuries, Europe's not looking quite so attractive just at the moment. Where does your money go? And if you're a global investor, you put it in gold. Gold's not particularly attractive investment, doesn't pay any interest. It's dug up from somewhere, it gets put in a hole somewhere else. You know, I'm sure if a Martian came down, they'd be trying to work out what the hell was going on with this gold caper. But
one of a number of questions they'd have, no doubt. But
exactly. But the hard facts are, it's you know what it is and you know what it's going to be worth. So we see gold grinding higher and higher. Impact for Australia is the good gold mines will continue to make money. Even the marginal gold mines, with that higher those higher revenues that'll be coming in, then we see that activity continuing.
I know it's incredibly complicated, Charlie, and I'm really glad that you can sort of help us make sense of all of this. But are we somewhat protected because of our investments in Asia and in China? Have we got a bit of a buffer, or are we going to cop a pounding depending on what happens in the US? Either way, over the next week.
I guess, given the global interrelatedness of trade, I think it would be a mistake to say we're now decoupled from the US. We don't rely on them as tightly as we used to. Those trade links aren't quite as tight. Those trade links have effectively morphed to Asia. Asia, of course, still trades with the US, so hence there's just another link in the chain there. A couple of years ago, when global share markets started falling, the Aussie market kept going for a month or two before it turned over in 2007. So I would never say we're decoupled, but as Asia becomes more self-sustaining, as China moves from an export-driven, you know, mercantilist model to a self-sustaining consumer-driven society, it's fair to say we will be a little bit more shielded than what we may have been in the past to the US.
And so just for us, we might not be global traders or anything, but what's the advice for people who've got superannuation, who have got some stocks and shares and, you know, just sort of small players, but still part of this global economy?
Well, absolutely right. This is playing out on a global stage, but it does affect every single person that has investments, has bank accounts, has superannuation. The advice is not to panic. There's a reasonable amount of hyperbole in the financial press, but the advice is to speak to someone that you trust and get some. So be aware of the issues. To arm yourself with some information, and then you'll have a plan in your head, such that when we see these things play out, you'll be fairly clear on what it is you need to be doing, rather than lurching from headline to headline designed to sell as many papers as possible.
But meanwhile, if you've got some gold bullion under your bed, keep it tucked in.
Yeah, don't be selling it just yet.
Charlie, thank you so much. And so we won't take this advice that life as we know it may change forever. Is that some of the, you know, that...
We will
talk.
Go on.
We will go on. Excellent. Thank goodness. We will have a show next Wednesday, for example.
Indeed we will.
Excellent. Thank you, Charlie.
Pleasure.
Charlie Perkins there, the CEO of Perkins Portfolio. We don't need to panic. Good. Glad to hear.